Down south, they say it's the economy, stupid. Up here, we say it's the economy, eh? And this is Political Economy Radio, a progressive take on economic issues in Canada and beyond. My name is Michał Rozwodski, and welcome to the show. Today, the focus is on two numbers, 1 million and 14, that draw out some interesting links between economics and politics today. The first number, 1 million, is the number of jobs that Tim Hudak has promised to create in Ontario if he is elected in that province's election taking place next week. This 1 million claim, as we'll hear, has been widely disputed by economists. The second number, 14, is the minimum wage being proposed by grassroots organizations, also in Ontario. It is an item that has been missing from the election time political agenda, and in many ways, the focus on 1 million over 14 is a focus on job quantity over job quality that also says something about the limited scope of economic policy debates, not only in Ontario, but beyond. First up then, a conversation with Toby Sanger, economist at the National Office of the Canadian Union for Public Employees, about the glaring holes in Tim Hudak's and the Conservatives' Million Jobs platform. Hi, Toby. Thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So for starters, maybe you could give us a sort of 60-second introduction to the Million Jobs plan that Tim Hudak and the Conservative Party are running on in this Ontario election campaign that's about to wrap up.
Just for those outside of Ontario or those in Ontario who haven't read it, Tim Hudak's got what he calls a Million Jobs plan that was inspired by his meeting with a number of Tea Party people in the United States. And it's really, if you read through it, it's a really quite far-right program, partly at a time when these policies have been really discredited. So it includes a whole range of different things. Cutting corporate taxes by 30% to the lowest rate across Canada, 8% at the Ontario level, a 10% cut in public sector workers, deregulation, undermining of workers' rights, eliminating incentives for renewable energy, increasing privatization, contracting out, expanding free trade, reducing government spending. Ontario already has the lowest per capita government spending across Canada. He wants to reduce it even further. He also wants to bring in some legislation preventing government from growing beyond a fixed percentage of the economy, cutting back on pensions, and also increasing privatization of health care. And then, kind of ironically, he also has a section there to focus on improving math education, which I think a lot of people find humorous, given some of the revelations of his calculations of the jobs that would be created by his so-called Million Jobs plan.
Right, because this is going to be my follow-up question. So the center point of this is that all these policies that you've listed, these are supposed to create a million jobs in Ontario during the next 8 years. But you're one of a number of economists, really from the left to the center right, who've looked at this plan and said on math terms, it really doesn't add up and is sort of riddled with basic arithmetic mistakes. Could you explain maybe some of these and what they, you know, what they mean for this claim of a million jobs?
Yeah, it may be generous to say that it's a mistake. I actually think, definitely it's a miscalculation. I actually think that the mistakes were intentional, because when Hudak has been confronted with this by reporters and others, he's claimed that they're not mistakes and that this is just the opinion of other economists, as if, you know, 2 + 2 does not equal 4. as if that's a matter of opinion, but in going through his plan, it was very, very clear that if you look at the reports that they commissioned from the Conference Board of Canada and from others, that he took the numbers of jobs that they would create per year, the person years of employment, and just added that up over the 8 years, or in some cases it was for 4 years. So a lot of the numbers that he came up with are basically 8 times what the commissioned reports told him they would be. So, for instance, on the corporate tax side, he said that cutting corporate taxes from right now the provincial rate in Ontario, the general rate, this is a rate that applies to big business. He's not even talking about small business. He said that it would create about 120,000 jobs. But you look at the conference board and their estimate of how much that would create is it's pretty close to an eighth of that, and that applies to most of his policies there. So he's added that to come up with a million jobs. He also continues to say on radio and on TV that there are a million people looking for work, i.e. unemployed. There isn't that number. The number of unemployed in Ontario is too high. It's at about 550,000, but it's a long way away from a million.
Yeah, and so maybe if we just sort of get beyond these, as you say, you know, miscalculations, whether intended or not, and you're quite right to point out that it does look like they are intended because he has, oddly enough, stood behind them, Tim Hudak has. What are some of the more fundamental problems with basing an election platform on some of these planks that you listed, the deregulation, the massive cuts to the public sector, and the cuts to corporate taxes?
Well, specifically on the corporate tax side, corporations in Canada have got about $600 billion in excess cash that they're not investing in the economy. And that's the type of money that has helped to contribute to financial instability and increasing concentration of power, not just economic power, but political power in the hands of a few. So it's not just an economic issue, but it's also a political issue. And they're not actually things that seem to create jobs, and they're things that seem to increasing inequality in our economy and society has led to, not only is it bad in itself, but it's also been bad for the economy, and it's increased instability in the economy and perverted our political system. But what I think is sort of interesting, I mean, when I went through a list of some of the things that he's proposing to do, and it really it sounds like the neoliberal Washington consensus that has kind of ruled economic policy for the since the Thatcher and Reaganite revolution, but on steroids. And so he's going to go. He's pledging to go, and he's been honest and frank about it, much further than Mike Harris did, or basically than anybody else has in Canada. I think part of his genius, though, is that they've understood that people are worried about jobs. They want good jobs, decent jobs. And so he's wrapped up these policies which would actually destroy jobs. I've kind of tabulated how much, even accepting the claims of the report that the research that they've done, and his set of policies would actually destroy jobs. They wouldn't create jobs. I think he recognized that, decided to fudge the numbers and wrap it up in a populist platform of creating jobs. So it's very disingenuous, of course, and I mean even beyond that. But he's put his finger on something that's really important that I think has been widely ignored by others and also by parties on the left of center, that having decent quality jobs are really important. So he would actually go in the opposite direction and destroy that and take us down a route to increasing inequality and concentration of power, fewer jobs and lower pay. But they're smart enough to recognize that this is an important concern.
I think you're right to point to that. And maybe in closing, you could say a few words exactly on this idea that, you know, yes, we're lacking jobs, but I think one of the big issues is that we're lacking good quality jobs. You know, that even if whether it's Hudak or someone else claiming that they're going to be creating, you know, thousands or millions or whatever jobs, if these are, you know, part-time, low-wage McJobs that people can't survive on, then maybe we should be shifting the focus. And maybe we need to, you know, maybe in some ways, as you're saying, realize what Hudak has realized, that people are worried about jobs, and not just jobs, but also good quality jobs. And we could say, you know, what could take us in the direction of this kind of better quality work?
One thing is he sees only private sector jobs as being worthwhile. So and a lot of the focus is on reducing the public sector and increasing the private sector, and there's a political agenda there. He's also focused on policies that will reduce the power of unions and workers' rights. And there's very little question, at least in my mind, that his policies would reduce worker security, wages, and the quality of jobs in a lot of different areas, and open the door to much more precarious work, as you've talked about. I think that that's one thing, but there's also another thing, and that is that people are looking for answers and positive, progressive policies, and there seems to be a real void in terms of articulation of those. He's got a whole lot of different items or policies that seem like a fix, and we need to. It's a real challenge for those of us on the more progressive side to counter those with a lot of our own in that way as well.
All right, Toby Sanger, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks very much, Mikhail. A real pleasure to speak with you.
That was Toby Sanger, economist at the Canadian Union of Public Employees, talking about the reality of Tim Kudak's Million Jobs Promise. Next up is my conversation with Dina Ladd. Dina is the director of the Toronto Workers' Action Centre and has been a central figure in the campaign for a $14 minimum wage in that province. So, hi Dina, thanks again for taking the time to be with us today.
Yeah, happy to be here.
And then maybe you could start just by giving an overview of the campaign that you're involved in for a $14 minimum wage in Ontario. What were some of the motivations for it, how it's been received, and what stage you're at the current moment?
Well, we launched the minimum wage campaign in March of 2013 with blocks of ice being presented to the Minister of Labour and a bunch of MPPs in different cities, basically saying it was time to melt the freeze. The blocks of ice had a frozen $10 bill and 25 cents in it. And so that was how our campaign started. But we had obviously done a bunch of groundwork before then, talking to, a lot of members at the Workers' Action Center, that's sort of, the organization I'm with, and other organizations that were part of the steering committee. We're talking to their members about, what made sense in terms of a fight for minimum wage in terms of the number or principles. And so what we did was we settled on some basic principles that seemed to resonate and people seemed to agree with, especially folks who were working in minimum wage jobs, which was that if you worked full time, you shouldn't be living in poverty. And so we set some basic principles then of saying, the minimum wage should be set 10% above the low income measure, which is what the Ontario government uses to determine what poverty levels are in Ontario, and that we said that once that level had been reached, then it should be indexed to the cost of living. And so the number that we ended up landing on, according to some of those principles, was $14 an hour. And so it's been a campaign then basically of trying to talk about this is, that the minimum wage is not about just a number. It's about some basic principles. And so we have been steadily building coalitions and city involvement, different cities across Ontario in the campaign. Last year, there was a panel that was put together by the government to review what the minimum wage should be set at. That report was released in January of this year. And basically, because it was a multi-stakeholder process, they really couldn't agree on a lot. But what they could agree on was some basic, was a basic acknowledgement that it should be indexed to the cost to inflation, which was one of our demands. So we were really happy with that.
Just to interrupt, I think the policy that came out of that was a couple proposals from a couple political parties, both the Liberals and the NDP, that said that the minimum wage should be at $11 and $12 sort of respectively. What was your reaction to that, and how has that affected your campaign?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Liberals absolutely said a 75 cent increase on June 1st, which has now come into effect this past weekend, and then introduced legislation to index the minimum wage to inflation. You know, a lot of people recognize, a lot of us recognize, that we wouldn't even have gotten that 75 cent increase if we hadn't have had an active campaign on the ground and if people weren't hearing it in their communities. So, you know, we've had at least consistently 16 cities across Ontario involved in the campaign that have been doing actions on the 14th of every month since August last year, which has been, you know, pretty huge. And we are using the elections, because we're currently in an election period right now, to say to people, you know what, regardless if it's $11 or $12 or no increase, which was what the Tories would do, that what we need to do is we need to push our politicians, and we need to create a base of organizing in our local communities that say these are our basic principles that we are all in agreement of, and that we don't think that the minimum wage should be below this. And that's what we need to push. And it just, I think in some ways it just shows that we have to keep our organizing on the grassroots level, and we just have to keep pushing and moving forward. I think it has really galvanized a real cross-section of support. People have been excited about the campaign, have gotten involved in many different creative actions, stuff that people would never, I think, you know, unions and other groups and community groups wouldn't have seen themselves doing. So it's been a part of building relationships between organizations, between cities, trying to find a new way of working provincially that can bring people together across the province on a single demand. And so it's been an experimentation on a number of levels as well.
That's very interesting. And maybe to sum up, I could ask you about maybe this broader context as well. So like you say, this is, you know, a single, very focused demand. How do you see it fitting into a sort of broader anti-poverty strategy or anti-poverty politics, especially in the sense that there's not that much being said about poverty or working conditions in, you know, during the mainstream political campaigning? So is this grassroots work also, that's quite focused, also working to sort of broaden the conversation?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we had a chance for people to come together earlier this year from across the province who've been active in the campaign. And, you know, when we looked around the room, I mean, many of the same folks were involved in raising social assistance rates, you know, were doing union organizing with low-income workers in the hotel and restaurant sector, you know, in grocery stores, were people who were doing work, you know, around housing, around employment insurance, around migration, around racism, around migrant worker issues, undocumented workers. So in some ways, what's been interesting about the campaign is, you know, we've had a variety of groups who are doing organizing in many different realms. I mean, even the Workers' Action Center, I mean, we do a lot of organizing around, you know, broader labor issues around, you know, temp agency work and enforcement. But we've managed to get a consensus around this one particular demand and the principles. And so we've used that to build relationships between groups that may have not necessarily worked together in the past, because people have been working on other anti-poverty issues. And so I think in that sense, it's been a really a very positive move forward in terms of allowing us to kind of come together on a single issue, but then also supporting each of our organizations when we're doing actions on other issues like raise the rates or, you know, put food in the budget or around, you know, broader issues around the labor movement, around right to work, which is, you know, what Tim Hudak's agenda is here in Ontario. So it has definitely provided more of a base for solidarity, and then also to sort of, you know, as I said, have a chance to work together.
Great. Thanks so much. I'll have to stop it there. Thanks again, Dina, for joining us.
Okay, no problem. Thank you.
Dina Ladd of the Workers' Action Center in Toronto. That's all for today. Talk to you again in 2 weeks.